an awesome speaker. My brother that has been going to this church for 15 plus years, Tyler Simon, and he's one of our leaders here. And he is going to bless us and share the good words of life. And so let's thank God for Tyler Simon today.
Thank you. Pastor asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, and I have to say, like, in my nature, that's really not my thing, you know. I get a little timid from it, but I always think to, you know, Moses when he's at that burning bush, and God's speaking to him and, you know, telling him what he's going to do, you know, go talk to your people. And Moses has all these excuses on why not to do it. And God says, who made your mouth? You know, it was me. So you can do it. So maybe that's encouragement for someone here. If you got something to say, you know, God made your mouth, you can do it. I actually just got back from vacation. It was kind of fun. We went to Smoky Mountains, never been there, Eastern Tennessee. I have a few pictures that might come up. I just wanted to show. It's pretty, very pretty place, if we can maybe get them up there. Yeah, they'll come here in a minute. This is my icebreaker, you know, to kind of like, I figured, like, you know, mission accomplished, that's right. here we go. This is, maybe it's kind of hard to see. This is the Smoky Mountains. We're on one of the highest points, you know, and it's really neat. You get to go all the way up to this kind of this really tall pier, and you can see why it's called the Smoky Mountains. There's just that cloud cover there and trees, beautiful. And we go to the next picture. And this was beautiful. I just went right out in the middle of this kind of creek river thing, this picture, awesome. You know, so peaceful, so nice to get away from home sometimes. Sometimes it is, you know, nice to get away from home and just go somewhere like this, you know, where you see what God made. And then finally, this is the real reason, you know. You take these kids out, they just love it. They're all smiling. The picture might be too big up there, but it was fun. Anyway, that's just a little aside. what I was going to speak about was, I've been thinking of the topic godliness, and really just kind of what it means, and am I doing it the right way, and what exactly is it? I kind of looked up a definition, and godliness is, it's a personal attitude toward God that results in actions that are pleasing to him. I'm just thinking of that, what does that mean? My attitude and actions, and another thought of what it is, it's living a God-centered life. Another thing I found is it's living out the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and then having self-control in there. I have a sober mind. I was thinking back in the day, a few hundred years ago, it's living a moral, upright life with reverence towards God and his kingdom. I think that's how it had been described too a few hundred years ago. I was kind of thinking too then on maybe examples of it in the Bible that might give a good clear picture. One of the first ones that came across was Enoch. you know, mentioned in the very beginning. There's not a whole lot on it, but I don't know, he might be like one of the first earliest examples of what it means. It really just says one thing. He walked with God. And he did it for a few hundred years back in that time. He's even mentioned again in the New Testament. It says that it actually says it a little different. It says he pleased God. So he walked with God and he pleased God. There are other examples. David is a big one that always stands out to me. Just everything he did just seemed like God was center, you know? It was the most important thing. And then I think of Paul. He's my big one in the New Testament. I mean, you could just see it. He just flipped. He went from, you know, this harsh law to, you know, I'm going to sell out. I'm going to give out everything. Just pour myself out, everything, whatever it takes. There's a few negative examples that I, you know, thinking about what kind of came up to me. One was actually Saul in the Old Testament. He was one that, you know, sometimes I could see a little of myself at times there. He was one that cared a little more about men and what men think than what God thinks. There's one real big example that happened. I think it was they were getting ready for a battle, or I can't remember exactly the circumstances, but he went ahead and did a sacrifice, and it really wasn't his job to do, and God didn't tell him that he should be doing it. And I think it was Samuel that was meant to actually be there. But Samuel wasn't there at that moment. He should have just kept waiting for him, but he didn't. He was so worried about what everyone thought. He went ahead and just did it. And that's when it was, you know, I think God was like, oh man, no way. And he just kind of decayed as, you know, as his life went on. He started, you know, he no longer heard God's voice. He went to seek a fortune teller, you know, just abominations. So negative example. That's one thing I want to talk about. True godliness, I think it must be motivated by seeking what God wants, you know, through love. And it's not just works. And then I was thinking about, you know, like doing it excellently. What does that mean? Excellence is surpassing ordinary standards. And I kind of had this thought of, well, what's the opposite of that? I mean, the opposite of that is pretty, like, depravity. But then there's something I think that doesn't quite mesh up and meet up either, and that's, like, mediocrity. Just not doing it to your fullest extent. I wanted to look at that, too. You know, godliness, but doing it in a way that, like, gets beyond just, you know, just coming once a week, or, you know, here to church, or 5 minutes a day, you know. So we'll move on there. And I have this lead verse that I think kind of encompasses how to get there. It's, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. And my first point, I'll start with it. There's a heart condition, you know. In medical, heart condition, it's kind of a bad thing. But I think we need to be thinking on what is our heart condition? Why are we doing it? There's this verse: whatever you do, work heartily with enthusiasm. Okay, work heartily, and I'm gonna say with enthusiasm and passion. That's kind of what heartily is. As for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So I just want to, I think at times, I think I will serve, I'll be serving man more than the Lord. That's just something I want to confess. I do, you know. Sometimes my actions are not in the right place. What I do, how I look, you know. I think, I know it's probably not just me, you know. Sometimes we'll just show up here and our hearts aren't really there. They're, maybe we just show up so that we look like we're here. And maybe it's okay to start out that way, but there should be a transformation when you're here. Like you should, maybe like this worship, you know. I need to get my mind back on what's important, and it's giving God glory. Everything I do. And this thing that I'm talking about, it's not work-based. You know, it's not, I mean, there is a little work involved, you know. You got to show up. You got to be there. So there's that work. But it's a heart-based pursuit of God. You know, I'm pursuing God not for others to see me do it, but because I want God to see me doing it, and I want to bring him glory. I want to work heartily for the Lord, and not just to mask, you know, these issues that are wrong with me. I'm not going to make it worse, work-based. A false image of godliness. Don't want it. That's why I'm here. I'm here for God. You know, the other thing about your heart, if you're here, if your heart's filled with anger and malice, greed, hatred, covetousness, jealousy, lust, there's no amount of good works that will get rid of those things. Like, we've got to be here. We're only fooling ourselves. If you think you can just be here and that will take care of it, it takes like you got to really dive deep in. And I find sometimes I don't really do it. And I know I'm not the only one. So let's ask God to search our hearts, expose all of our unrighteousness so that we can get rid of it. I mean, it'll just keep popping up day by day. But when it pops up, when you realize, I think part of it too is being more situationally aware of when that is happening. When those things come up, just immediately say, God, I don't know why I feel this way. I mean, maybe there is a wrong, but I know it's wrong to be that way. Why it's wrong to think that thought. I mean, we can think terrible thoughts, but I think this verse, search me out, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. Like, make this a practice. Make it a prayer. Going back to David, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. But I think of this instance, you know, where God had to confront him, and he used a prophet, Nathan, you know, to talk to him. So David, he'd kind of become, I don't know, maybe complacent. You know, he was up in his palace, just on a rooftop, you know, while his men were at war, and he kind of let his heart stray a little bit. He saw this lady over there bathing. She was married. He kind of had this lust of the eyes, lust of his flesh. Wanted that thing, and he went after it in a bad way. Like, he went after her, And to do it, to have her, he had to actually kill one of his best, like a best friend, I would say, to take her. And God, you know, that's a terrible situation. God doesn't want us to be there. So he sent Nathan, the prophet, to basically say, tell him what he'd done. Look, you can't let this, you can't just tuck it away and hide it. God said, I'm not going to let you do it. Like, you're going to, it's coming out in the open. So repent. And that's what all of Psalm 51 is. It's a good one to read. I mean, excellent. But Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Like, he repented right there. He saw where the problem was. I let this thing get in there. I let it in. I went after this lust, you know, this thing that wasn't of God, and I let it take over. We can have those things in our lives. It's not just an adulterous situation. It could be anything. We can make excuses for why we don't have time to pray to God, to read our word, to, speak to a brother or sister about something. There's all kinds of excuses. There's all kinds of these sins that can come into and just lead us away from God. Maybe it's like kind of like addictions. Like maybe you pull this phone out and all of a sudden all your time's consumed. You could be on it for hours and your mind is probably not on God. It's probably on someone on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, TikTok's a new one, you know, all that stuff. So what's my heart condition? Where am I at? The next time I was thinking about my soul, and that's, you know, it seems like in the Bible, I don't know, heart and soul are kind of hard to separate. I don't really have a good way to separate it, but this verse, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's kind of like your soul is almost like your devotion to God, you know. Your heart is like affection, soul's like devotion. Like, am I giving all of myself? I came across this. Loving the Lord with all of our soul is surrendering our life, our personality, our inner self, our identity. The soul is where we make our decisions and the choices that ultimately decide our lifestyle and our behavior. The soul is the core me. I was thinking, do I have lifestyle choices, behaviors, habits that are God-centered? So, good example of those, a good soul cleansing is just maybe reading God's word. You know, I find that this is where I find I fail sometimes. I'll listen, but not really be listening. Or I'll read, but not really be thinking on it, on what I'm reading. You know, I'll have my mind somewhere else. It is really soul cleansing if you can find a way to just get away to where you can focus on God. You know, you always hear about the prayer closet. You know, I always envision just like going in my closet, which I don't really want to go in there. It's kind of a mess, you know. There's a bunch of clothes laying there and just junk and anyway. But, you know, maybe creating a place in your house where you can go. Just go outside sometimes. Just, you know, if it's a nice day and, you know, before the kids wake up or maybe at night when the kids are asleep. That's my struggle too. You know, it's the kids. It's like, how do you get away from them, you know? Because like they're all in there, like in your face, you know, finding a way to do it. So that prayer closet, whatever that may be, I always have these grand visions of just building something I can go into. But I know there's somewhere you can go. Maybe it's your basement. I used to do that in the past. You know, I go down in the basement. No one knows where you're at when you go down there. You just go to. Anyway, that was a good one. A good place. You know, the other thing is just seeking to be obedient to the Lord. I think one thing that will help your soul is when you can be obedient and you make it a practice. When you're not obedient, you do it. Now, if you get a little hardened, like, it's just not as important. Maybe God's like, you know, He's put something there. Like, maybe you're supposed to go speak to somebody and you don't do it. And I think over time, enough of that, you really start to lose, you know, you start to lose a little faith and just, there's something there. Like, you pretty well just got to do it. Like, I don't know any other way about it. You just got to do it. Like, just be a little bold. Have a little courage. I'm a little timid, so that's hard for me, you know, to just go up and talk to somebody. Sometimes some of the hardest is my family, you know. So it might not even be, you know, maybe you're not supposed to do it, but if God's saying to do it, maybe you should. You never know. Sometimes you've got to monitor your own emotions in that, because that seems to be where the biggest thing, you know, when you're trying to talk to a family member that maybe doesn't agree with your lifestyle, you know, you're going to get, and the other thing is they know all your faults. They can push them right back. So maybe that's not the right time, but being aware, you know, is the Lord telling me to do it? Just step out and do it. See what happens. If it leads to argument, step back. Maybe come back later. What about my personality traits? Like, I don't know, maybe your soul. Some of it, is, like, you're, like, there's, like, traits. Like, maybe we'll take with us when we go to heaven, you know. Some of the traits I found: integrity, empathy, compassion, courage, patience, loyalty, humility, fairness, reliability. Am I an encouraging person? Am I helpful? Am I a discreet person? One of the biggest things is, I think, integrity. Internal integrity, especially. You know, do I have that trait? Like, will I lie to myself? Sometimes I do. Yeah, I'll lie to myself and make it seem like something's better than it is. Like, you can paint a prettier picture in your mind than what you really are. And I think that takes, there's a little self-examination there. And external integrity. That's very important too. Can people trust me when I tell them something? Like, if I'm a liar, I don't know that a lot of people are really drawn to that. You know, I will say, you know, that is the biggest way to not have a relationship with somebody. If you're just a constant liar, no one wants to be around you. I've been with people like that, and you have to kind of think, well, are they telling me the truth, or I don't know. Empathy. Do I have a heart for other people, for their circumstances? A lot of times I do. Some places I don't, and I can be a little callous. I just have to pray about those things, you know. Like, God, help me with that. Am I compassionate? Do I have courage? I've already talked about that. Sometimes I don't. I'm a little scared. Patient. I think over time I've learned, like, you can learn that. You can learn to be more patient. And I don't know what it takes, 100%, but in my job, I deal with people all the time. And that's where I find a lot of, you know, you have to be patient. I work at a nursing home, the veterans home, and you know, when you're trying to help an older person, you know, get up out of the bed and get over to the chair, and you know, you got to be patient with that. You can't just be like, come on, you know, pick them up and throw them in there. am I loyal? That goes a little bit with trust too, like humility. Am I humble? Am I the opposite, proud? Am I proud? Do I think I'm right all the time? Examine yourself. You know, if you think you're right all the time, probably not. I mean, probably not. Am I a fair person? Sometimes with my kids, maybe not. I don't know. I'll kind of go one way or the other. Reliable. Am I going to show up to my job? Am I going to show up and be where I say I'm going to be? Am I an encouraging person? The people around me, do I want them to have goodness in their life too? Or am I a discourager? Do I bring up things from their past? Or, you know, am I helpful? If someone's stranded on the side of the road, am I going to pull over and help them, or am I just going to drive by? Discreet. If someone tells me something in confidence, am I just going to gossip it out to whoever's around, you know? Some things you just got to keep to yourself if someone tells you that in confidence. I wouldn't share everything with my spouse if someone, that could come out too. You never know. So it's good to have those kind of relationships with people that, you know, like you can tell them something. Not everything needs to be broadcast so everyone knows all of it, all your dirty laundry, you know? So, you know, the counterparts, liar, indifferent, being timid, impatient, proud, unfair, discouraging, or gossiper. Any of these personality traits that don't give glory to God, they should be weeded out. We shouldn't let them grow in us. You know, they don't have to be there. We don't have to embrace them. I mean, some of those things are there, and your flesh might want to do it. Like, you know, the gossiping, I see that a lot. You don't have to. You just get up and get away. Just close your lips, you know. We need to pray to God for help. When those things are there, and those negative traits are trying to take a hold of us, pray to God. Get up and get away. You know, if you find yourself being angry, or just get away. Examine what's going on. Why is this there? Pray to God for help. This verse I found. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is why, you know? Man, this is why. You know, next I want to talk about your mind. Like I've come across this lately. I started getting back into trying to be fit, like physically, you know. Really, there's all areas of your life you should be trying to be fit. And I find that my mind is probably my biggest barrier to all of that, you know. Like, your body can do a lot, but only if the, you know, the controls that are driving it, you know, are working right. It can be one of the biggest obstacles in pursuing godliness. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you can think about it. Maybe like your mind is probably like where the biggest power of the flesh comes from, you know? Like that's like it's the central nervous system of it literally is, but of your flesh. So it's almost a perfect enemy. It's able to divert our focus from God in milliseconds. I mean, literally, milliseconds. You know, if listening to God's word and then right over here something happens, diversion, you can be taken off course. Our brains, our mind, it's on time every time. That the fleshly side of your brain, it's on time every time. It knows you better than anything else. I would say even Satan. You know, I mean, I'm not God, but, you know, of everything in the horizontal, for sure, your mind knows you very well. It's easily able to rob you of time. The things that you should be doing that your mind will find a way to get you out of it. You know, if you're supposed to be reading God's word, man, it's so good. You know, you'll just take your phone out to check the time, and it's like, oh, Twitter. You know, oh, look, I got an email. You know, whatever. It's so good at it. It's also, I think it's inherently lazy. Like, your mind's so quick to just give up. I mean, it can be, you know? It can, like, you'll be reading and like, man, I don't know, why am I doing this? I'm tired, you know? You just fall asleep. Yeah, you could. I mean, that'd be the first extent. You just fall asleep. But you'll find something else that's more entertaining, and it's terrible. It's an excuse factory. Very, very good at it. You don't have time. You don't have time to do this, you know? I mean, there's only 24 hours in a day. I spent 8 of them on Facebook, you know? It'd be weird if you were to break it up, like, every time something happened on your phone and you, like, looked at it, like, it'd be good to know, like, how much time did I spend in a day, like, just being diverted by something that doesn't matter, you know, a news story, whatever it is. You can do it later. It's pretty good. I think that's part of laziness. You know, you can do it later. Like, you don't have to start today. Oh, man, you only have 6 hours to get that thing done today. You know, tomorrow you'll have 12, you know. or there are too many distractions around me, and I won't get much out of it. You know, that's like the thing with the kids. You know, oh, there are. Oh, I'm just going to give up and not even try. Lazy. So our brains, you know, questions, they question things. Your brain brings up those questions, like, why are you doing this? Why, you don't have enough time, why are you doing it? Well, I think the answer is you have to have an answer for why. Like, why are you reading your word? You know, because I knew it. I need it. I need my mind renewed today. I'm doing it because if I don't, then I'm just going to be conformed to the world. And, you know, who knows? I have salvation, but, you know, can you go apostate all the way back to where, you know, you don't have salvation? I don't know. But you know what? I got to have a reason. You got to have that reason why. Why am I doing it? I'm doing it because it's good for me. Like, I know you mind, you want to be lazy, but, you know, it would be better if we got up and we did this, you know? Like, maybe we finish that project on our house, and while we're doing it, we glorify God in it, you know? Hard work. You know, I think God likes hard work. I bet you when he looks at you, he likes it a lot more than he likes you laying in bed, you know. I bet, you know, if you were to, if you really wanted to please God, I bet, you know, laying in bed isn't what he's thinking, you know, like, oh, I'm so glad he's laying in bed today. Like, it's probably not what he's thinking. You got to have answers for those questions. And sometimes, you know, maybe you can ask some questions back. Well, you know, yeah, I want to be lazy. Well, how can I make it work? How can I get up? Like, what things can I do? Like, one thing on my phone, I just thought of this the other day. I should do it. Like, all those little apps, you know, on the first page that want to, like, pull you in, we just move them over, like, two or three pages. And then maybe just, like, have multiple copies of, like, Bible apps, you know, or something like that. I just thought of that. I was like, well, why don't I do that? You know, I should. Set yourself up for success. okay. Let's see. Yeah, our minds, you know, they don't, the mind is not like suffering. Anything that seems hard, I just think you'll find a quick way to get out. Like, your mind will try to do something to get you out of it. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example. I just remember back in, you know, when I was a kid, we used to have to, like, buck bales of hay, you know, it'd be like 90 degrees outside, and I just would hope the truck would break down, or like, yeah, man, won't that baler just, I just wish the string would just break in it, you know, and it can't make another bale, it's so hot. But, you know, that hard work is good for you. That bit of suffering, I bet you get something from it. I think I did, you know? I mean, you know, when you get away from that kind of stuff long enough, you can't hardly tolerate, you know, 74 degrees in your house. You want it to be 72, you know? Or in the winter, you know, God, 72 is too cold. I need it to be 75. Like, you just get weak. I think we need to train our minds, you know, to deal with that kind of thing. Like, you know, there might be a time where we're going to have to suffer a little. I mean, a little more than now. People have gone through suffering here. But the way things look, like, down the road, there may be a lot more of that. And, you know, I just want to make, we need to make sure we're in, like we're a little more firmed up for that stuff when it happens. all these things, you know, your mind, it's cheating you out of knowing God better. When you don't go through suffering, when you don't go through hard times, you're not as likely to want to, like, pull close to God, to not get strength from God. You'll just be more complacent and just really not try to seek out, you know, help. I was thinking of Paul in the New Testament, so. Paul talks about this time. He says, five times I took the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned. I was prisoned. Shipwrecked. Hungry, thirsty, cold. He was eventually executed. All for Christ. And I bet you his mind was not weak, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't know if we'll face things quite this bad, but it could happen. It could. And if your mind isn't strong enough to handle it, you might just give in. You'll give in to whatever it is. our government now, I mean, they try to push a lot of things right now. How far is it going to go? Are you going to, how far would you give in? You know, if they said, you know, well, you're a Christian, you can't shop at this store, would you give it up so you could, you know, so you could have food and water? I don't know. I just think we have to be working and be prepared and be ready in case we have to suffer a little bit. Do something hard every day. Like, get up, flip a tire for a mile. I don't know, you know? Right? Whatever it takes, get up and do it. With the body. I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. That's what Paul says, you know. There's a lot in there about how he disciplined his flesh. I'm going to say he disciplined his mind. He, all so they could do God's work to give him the glory. It's like, I'm counting as, yeah, okay, you're going to beat me? Good. You know, I'm hardening myself for that. I'll do it. I'll take that beating. If it gives God glory, I'll do it. So the main verse there, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. So we can't let our minds, ourselves, we can't be conformed to this world. We have to have that transforming of the mind. We have to be on fire for God. Have to do it. Another verse. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready. We have to have our minds ready. Be reading the word, prayer, praying for others, doing God's work, helping orphans, widows, all of it. Speaking to those who don't know God, we have to be doing it. I was going to do this. It's kind of like something I was thinking about. I heard it, and it reminded me of something as a kid. So when I was a kid, we used to have I used to take a bath in the bathtub, and you'd have this washcloth. And I just remember as a kid just like wringing it out, you know, just wringing it out, soaking wet. But it seemed like, you know, like you could get it tight enough. There's always a little more in there. Like you just keep doing it. Like this should be our lives, you know, our pursuit of godliness. We're gonna give everything, all of ourselves. We're just gonna wring every drop out of this life. All of it, you know? You just keep wringing. Nothing left. Nothing. You know, I want my life so that, you know, I just don't want to, I want to get up there and I want God to say, yep, that's what I wrote down. I don't want to fall short. I'm not going to be mediocre. Not falling short. You know, everything wrung out. I think too of, you know, you go by a graveyard, all that potential, you know, if you didn't, all those people. You only have so much time to do it. Only so much time. Every drop, wrung out. So, you know, one thing I want to get to last. Why are we seeking godliness? We're seeking it for that, you know. Our lives totally surrendered, totally given over to God. Every bit of it. Every area, mentally, my physical body, everything, all of it, given over. I'm not conformed to this world. I'm transformed, and I am doing God's will. I'm doing what God wants, all for Him. You know, a byproduct of that is, you know, what we do will be such a light for those around us. Like, they'll just be like, what's going on there? Like, that's crazy. How are you persevering? How are you doing it? You know, if we look like the world when we're out of the church, we're not really going to be that set apart. People aren't going to be attracted. You know, there's like, okay, well, it's just like at home, you know. That's how it is in my neighborhood, you know, whatever. There's nothing different. There's little to no draw to those that are seeking answers, you know, who are outside the body of Christ. We've got to be holy, you know. We've got to be different. We can't look like the world. We can't seek godliness in just a mediocre way. We can't just do it halfway. Got to be all in. It's by genuine seeking of the Lord and a righteous life that people are truly converted. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I mean, what better way? You know? Live our life for God. You know, it goes all the way back. What is godliness? I care about God. I care about what He wants. I'm not going to slack off and just wait till He comes back, you know? I'm just going to sit around and wait? No, we're not. Not today. And that's all I've got.
Thank you, brother. That was excellent. Let's stand. We're going to pray. If you could close our eyes. This life that Tyler speaks of, the new life that comes through Jesus Christ. I don't want to assume that everybody knows Jesus as their Savior. So if you could close your eyes, I want to just make sure. If you've not yet believed in Jesus Christ for salvation, God is definitely interested in you. He loves you. He wants you to be part of His kingdom forever. But He does, at this point, it's voluntary. You have to make a choice to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you've not yet believed in Jesus Christ and you'd like me to remember you in prayer today, could you raise your hand and I'll take time to pray for you after the service. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Church family, that was an interesting message, almost like a pleasant Brillo pad was applied to us today. I mean, you got this gentle presentation, but the Spirit was definitely searching and doing some seeking out some dark places, doing some cleansing. At least that's God's will, is He wants to cleanse us today. And there's things that we need to bring to the Lord. We've heard. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Don't just let this slip away. Don't let it be the seed that falls by the wayside, and the moment you leave, it's gone. The devil takes it away. But embrace it. And so if there's some areas that you just need to present to the Lord, we're going to pray together as a family. And so just come on down here to the altar. Some areas of the heart, some areas of the soul, some areas of the mind. Never think more highly of yourself than you ought to. It's been said, I kind of taken it from, that was an awesome statement, that the mind is an excuse factory. That's awesome. So true. It's like I have this exercise regimen, and every day the first thing my mind says is, don't do that. Don't do that. And I'm one that is proactive that way, but wouldn't you know it, the first thing the mind says, don't do it, or you can do that another day. And so, but 6 days a week, because I do have a Sabbath rhythm with it, but 6 days a week, I have to not take the first thought, but what is the renewed thought? What's the better way? Is no, you go against that, and you'll be better off for it in the long run. So you got to argue with yourself a little bit. So the mind is like an excuse factory, and the heart's like an idol factory. The heart will produce one thing after another to replace God. And the world will make it very easy. Absolutely. We will facilitate that. And so we have to be like soldier-like. We have to be, like he said, to firm up. And if we're not firming up, if we're not being proactive, then we will tend towards laziness and sluggishness. And we'll be easier targets for the devil. And then just things start to, like the snowball effect happens. And it gets bigger and bigger as we go down. So I just want to pray, Lord, help us today to indeed hear what you've said to us through your servant. Your pure words were spoken to us, and may they lodge in good soil. And if there's areas of the heart, if there's other passions, other things entering in which are vying for us, forgive us for our sins, forgive us for any idolatry, any competition we've allowed, and may you be our first and foremost. May we offer ourselves to you daily and live every day intentionally in pursuit of you and your will. Lord, may our hearts be ever towards you. May our souls be such that the fruit of the Spirit is developed, that by the water of the Word and by your life, that those fruit that are of you would come forth, and our soul would manifest that instead of anything else. And help us, Lord, in our minds, renew these minds to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, to not be conformed to our own first thoughts, to deception, to laziness, but let there be a second approach. Let us learn to combat even ourselves, that we might live the abundant life. Thank you, Lord God, for this day in your house. I pray your blessings upon your people. May the Lord bless and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you continually. May he give you peace and rest. May he direct your steps in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.